Give me the words. Everybody, give God some praise. Come on and give God some praise. Truly, He's worthy. He's worthy of all of the praise. How many know that God has been good to you? Amen. Good morning to all of you that are here, all of you that are listening in through way of virtual social media, whatever it is. This is the day that the Lord has made. Come on, we ought to rejoice and be glad in it. Oh, what a wonderful day. Oh, what a wonderful day. Thank you, Lord, everybody. Thank you, Lord. Somebody ought to say that. Thank you, You've been so good. Somebody know that he's been good to you. You've been so good. I know you've been good to me. You've been so good. I just want to thank you, Lord. How many know that he made a way? You made You made a way. Nobody but you, God. Nobody. You made a way. Father, in the name of your Son, Jesus, we stand here today, Lord, in your presence. Father, realizing that you are our God, we recognize the fact that there is none other besides you. We come in your Son, Jesus' mighty name to say thank you. Thank you, God, for just allowing us this golden privilege. For Father, we were able to get up this morning. You started us on our way. We had life, health, and strength, and the blood was still running warm in our veins. Thank you. And Lord, you drove with us up and down these dangerous roads, guided those steering wheels. We say thank you. And Lord, here we are now. Come now, Holy Spirit. Manifest your spirit. This hour, this minute, this second, manifest your spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Bless these young people today. Bless our ushers, our choir, our deacons, our pastor, our members and friends, all them that it takes to make this service what you would have it to be. Give us power from on high, that dunamis power that will only come from you. Come now, Holy Spirit. You said where there's two or three gathered in your name, God, you would be in the midst. And we're here, Father, ready to worship you, give you the glory. As we worship you, Father, remove anything that may be causing any of us not to worship you in spirit and in truth. Come now, Holy Spirit, sup with us, manifest your spirit. It is in Jesus' name. Everybody say amen. 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 Come on, you can do better than that. Give God some praise. Give God some praise. Amen. Amen. If you would turn with us to the first book of Genesis. Amen. Our morning scripture. Genesis, the first chapter. Amen. We will be reading verses 11 and 12. And then we will move down to verse 27 through 31. Amen. The first book of the Bible. Verse 11 reads, "Then God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb that yields seed, and the fruit tree that yields fruit, according to its kind, whose seed is in itself on the earth. And it was so. And the earth," listen to verse 12, "brought forth grass, the herb that yields seed according to its kind, and the tree that yields fruit, whose seed is in itself according to its kind. And God saw that it was good." Verse 27, "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female. He created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth." Verse 29, "And God said, see, I have given you every herb that yields seed, which is on the face of all the earth, and every tree whose fruit yields seed, to you it shall be for food. Also to every beast of the earth, to every bird of the air, and to everything that creeps on the earth in which there is life, I have given every green herb for food. And it was so." Verse 31, "Then God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. So the evening and the morning were the sixth day." May God bless the reading of his word for the good and the edifying of our souls. Amen. Come on and give God some praise again. Amen. As our parishioners enter in, give our youth choir hand of praise. Amen. As they come.
Amen. Amen. Come on, give them another hand. Hallelujah. Early in the morning, they singing Jesus is worthy. Amen. So truly we should be praising God. Amen. Because we can be a witness that Jesus is worthy. How many believe that today? Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. We give all honor and praises to our Heavenly Father. Amen. To all of the reverend clergies in the house and to the officers and to you, my Father's children, we greet you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. To all of you who are listening in, we welcome you here to our services this morning. Amen. And pray that you have had a blessed week. I don't know about you, but God has been mighty good. Amen. Somebody is complaining about the cold weather. Or maybe the cold weather get rid of some of these germs. So we just praise God anyhow. Amen. David said, I bless the Lord at all times. His praises shall continuously be in my mouth. And so the choir said, Jesus is worthy. He's worthy to be praised. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I don't know about you, but the Lord is blessing me right now. Amen. I don't have to ask nobody about it. Amen. When I woke up this morning, I didn't have no doubt. I knew that the Lord would work it out. Amen. And so we are so grateful this morning. Amen. To come together and to give God honor and to give him praise. Amen. This is our Youth Sunday, and we thank God for them being here. And we want you, amen, to continue praying. Amen. For our situation, we know that we're living in a time now. It is a trying time. Amen. And we need the Lord to help us. Anybody need the Lord to help you? Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. God bless you. On a good note, we one of our contractors, our lawn care taker, the Dr. Reginald Rutherford will be installed at the Pilgrim Baptist Church there in Nelson, Georgia, this afternoon at 3 p.m. Some of you might remember that church. I used to preach revival there every year. Amen. And so he will be installed as pastor there this afternoon. He's been taking care our lawn for years now, and the Lord has elevated him. Amen. And so he will become their pastor. Amen. So we ask for your prayers for him. Amen. And pray for me as I journey up there this afternoon that I'll be safe. Praise God. Nevertheless, we know God is in control. Amen. That he will take care of us. Again, we say to you, keep being cautious during these times. They have said that the hospital's capacity is overwhelming. And so we need to try all we can to stay out of the hospital. Amen. So let us continue wearing our masks, social distancing. Amen. And trying to be safe that we would not catch this virus. And those that has been vaccinated, they say if you do catch it, it won't be as bad. So, but we pray that you don't catch it. Amen. Amen. So let us stay in prayer and be safe. All right. Let us continue praying for all of those that are on our sick and concerned list. Amen. Understand that Dick and Kimball suffered a stroke on last week. So please keep him in your prayers. He's in the hospital. Let's keep him lifted in prayer. Also, for those who have not heard, Mother Wyatt, she took her wings and went on to glory. Amen. Mother Leola Wyatt, amen. She was 93 years old. Praise God. So we thank God for sharing her with us, amen, for such a long period of time. So as soon as we get some arrangements, we would pass it on to you. I know it will be this week. I just don't know the date nor the time. Amen. So when they get it together, we will pass it on to you. All right. Keep Sister Ernestine Clark in your prayers as she's going through chemo and radiation. Brother Glenn Bonner, who had a stroke, Groucho White, Angie Smith, all of those people recovering from strokes. Let's keep them lifted in prayer, if you will. Amen. Also, the Stewart family, Beverly Scott, who has breast cancer, Reverend Darryl James, who's recovering, Deaconess Karen Armstrong, and all the rest that are recovering from whatever ailment they have. We ask that you please continually lifting them in prayer. Amen. Because as long as we have faith, we know God can change things. Amen. Amen. So let us pray mightily for them. Also, we want to thank you, especially those of you that are giving your tithe and your offering during this period of time. Thank you so very much. I want to say to you that if your address have changed, you need to call the church office and correct that as she sends out the tax statements. We have been getting back some returns for that. And so we want to try to correct your address. And if you're not sure that we have your right address, please call the church secretary and give her the updated information so that you can get your tax statement on time. Please, ma'am, please, sir, if you will, do that. God bless you. Amen. Let us continue with our youth. Amen. In praise. Thank you.
Praise God. Oh, what a testimony.
I know. Look at your neighbor and say, I know I can make it. Amen. Because my life is in his hands. Oh, what a blessing to know that we are in the hands of the Lord. How many feel blessed this morning? Amen. No matter what we're going through, we know who's in control. And we can make it. I know it looks hard sometimes. Amen. But God's got your back. While we're trying to figure it out, he's already worked it out. Amen. So we just need to trust him because our life is in his hands. Oh, what a blessing. Blessed assurance that Jesus is mine. Hallelujah. In the book of Genesis, amen. Wanted to try to encourage, especially the young folks today and some of us older ones too. Amen. In Genesis chapter 1, look there, if you will, at verse 11 and 12 and verse 27 and 28. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit trees yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass, and herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself after his kind. And God saw that it was good. Verse 27, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them. And God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowls of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. Thank you. You might be seated. Father, we thank you once again for this privilege, for this opportunity to come and say a word for you. Pray that I would take these lips of clay of mine, use them for your glory. Bless your people with a word from on high, that they might know your will and know your way. They might be comforted, they might be delivered, they might be set free. Come, Holy Spirit, do what you do best. Show up and show out, and we know everything will be all right. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Let me take you back to your childhood days. Thank you, ushers. Amen. Where we had a tendency to have everything that we wanted. Amen. Whether it was good for us or it was bad for us. Amen. We just want it. Amen. Trying to satisfy ourselves. A child is a fruit brought forth by its mother. Indeed, each of us is a fruit that contains a seed after its kind. For instance, an apple seed planted in the ground will produce an apple tree. It will yield a lot of fruit in harvest. The same was true with the seed that God planted in Adam, and from whom the entire world populations have come. In Genesis 1 and 12, it tells us, and the earth brought forth grass and herb yielding seed after its kind, and the tree yield fruit, whose seed was in itself after its own kind, and God saw that it was good. God's principle is at work here. The Creator puts a seed in every person. The seed represents our calling, our destiny, our talents, everything we need to excel and be productive. We need God's seed to live a fruitful life. The seed has the ability to reproduce itself. In other words, it can grow, multiply, and fill the earth. Greatness and fulfillment in life is the lot of the chosen. Our narrative here, Moses, gives us the things that we need to understand about seed. The Lord has prepared these gifts for each of his children. In a little boy, we can see an adult man who may father many people. There is a woman in every girl who, like Eve, may become the mother of many nations. Out of one bird came a flock of birds, and a fish gave birth to a school of fish. Genesis 1 and 8, Moses tells us God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. You should believe that becoming a significant success in life is not just a chosen few. If you believe that God created you after his likeness, and he did, Genesis 1:26, then do not doubt that he has planted a seed of greatness inside of you. God did not find a man and call you unto himself in vain. Remember, greatness and fulfillment in life are the lot of the chosen. The Lord has prepared these gifts for each of his children. Deuteronomy 28, 1 through 4 tells us, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandment which I command thee this day, the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. That's good news. And all of these blessings, amen, shall come on thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Blessed shalt thou be in the city, and blessed shalt thou be in the fields. Blessed shalt thou be the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of thy ground, and the fruit of thy cattle, and the increase of thy kindred, and the flock of thy sheep. In other words, the blessing of the Lord is upon you. As we see in this passage, if you need God's world, amen, God's word, blessings will pour, amen. Let me repeat that. If you heed God's word, blessings will pour massively into your life. That's why Jesus tells us, I came that you might have life, that you might have it more abundantly. The lives of some of our pastors prove this. Before their coming to God, they was victims with no prospect whatsoever for the future. There are pastors who was alcoholics with 30 years of drinking record. Those that accepted God after 3 suicide attempts. Still others was on the run from bandit for months. The list can go on and on. But now these same people are leaders and lead others to Christ. In other words, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Amen. Your life changed the moment, amen, you made a decision to follow Jesus. Have no doubt, brothers and sisters, this will work in your life as well. But it is essential to obey his word in order to fulfill his plan for your life. That is why I want to help you in this area by getting you to acquaint it with the four principles of continuing success. Let's take a look at them. First of all, brothers and sisters, continue your mission. Amen. Principles. Never be content with your current state. Let me say that again. Young folks, never be content with your current step. Admit that you have not achieved perfection and that they are still not the person you want to be. You want to be better, amen, in life and be better than you are right now. Complacency will lead to self-destruction. In other words, when you get comfortable in a position and don't think you can do anything else, it sometimes will lead you to destructions. It is as if you bury yourself alive. He who is dissatisfied with his current position makes progress. Dissatisfaction will compel you to act, to seek something new. In other words, don't get settled into what you are doing right now, because there might be more in store for you if you will exhort yourself, exert yourself, amen, to the word of God. Paul says in 2 Timothy 4:7-8, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the law, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearance. Although Paul knew about the rewards awaiting for him in heaven, the Apostle Paul continued his mission, doing the will of God. That's what we have to do, young folks. We must press forward, even though we might think that we are all right now. But we got to push ourselves. We got to stretch ourselves, because God has great things in store for you. You ought to tell yourself the best is yet to come. Like an apple seed that grows in a fruit tree, your talents can make you famous and successful someday. As long as you believe in yourself, believe in God, his word, and strive for more accomplishment in your life, as the Holy Spirit leads you, success can be your constant companion. Remember, it's those who are dissatisfied with their current position who will make progress. In Philippians 3:12, Paul also wrote, not as though I have already attained, either were already perfect. Amen. But I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. By thinking over things you are willing to do, you expand the scope of your possibilities. And as long as you follow Jesus, no one will be able to stop you. But you must never think you have obtained perfection in everything you do. There is always room for improvement. Paul lets us know in Philippians 3:13-14, he says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind me and reaching forth unto those things which are before me, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Brothers and sisters, in this our society, many people have the mentality of the average man. They say, I am a normal person. Well, maybe, I am not as successful as someone else, but I am quite satisfied with my life. Their biggest enemy is the assurance that they have done their best and now they can rest on their achievement. Let me encourage you here today. Generally, those who criticize them for their passive or actual doing them a favor and wishing them good, they are usually encouraging those people to seek new ideas. And their, amen, commitment shows, amen, that they can do a greater work. It is unwise to accuse our critics of lacking God's love. His word says in Proverbs 3:12, whom the Lord loveth, he corrects. Such is God's principles, and one way he corrects us is to others. So when somebody come up to you, amen, and start criticizing you and say you can do better, that you need to push yourself, that you need to do what the Lord has told you to do, don't criticize what they are saying to you, but take it as sound advice, because they are trying to push you into your next dimension. You should welcome those who encourage you to seek new ideas and ways in your life. There will be no limits to your success as long as you believe in yourself, in God and His Word, and work hard to expand your horizon. Oh, I want to tell you today, the sky is the limit for you. All you need to do is to apply yourself. There is no comparison. Another thing you should never do is to compare yourself with others, as they will impel your success. For instance, as one chosen of God, I don't want to be like anyone else. According to Deuteronomy 28:13, I have to be the head and not the tail. Oh, brothers and sisters, because Michael Jordan was a success, don't mean that you can be a less success than he was. If you apply yourself and do what you, amen, that God had, the God-given capabilities that God has given you, you can do more than what somebody else has done. In other words, the Creator has prepared something special for you. So why should I worry about what people think or speak about me? I shouldn't let other folks dictate what my life is going to be like. God wants the same success for you, but you must be firm in your heart about who you are in Christ, because truly successful people never compare themselves with others, because God got a special plan for your life. Each of us, God has a different destiny. And if we don't walk in God's plan, we limit ourselves to what God can bless us with. Listen to what Paul says in 2 Corinthians 10:12. He says, for we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves and not wise. I place a high demand on the church and myself. I am never at ease with current achievements. The Lord does not see us as we are, but as we can be and should be. Every accomplishment that we have done might look good to us, but we must not stop there. God got some more things in store for us. Suppose I make $1,000 a month, but God has endowed me with the potential for earning $10 million. Then naturally, He will wait for me and help me, amen, and reach my potential. But while He wants me to be pleased with what I have, He does not want me to become complacent and stop here, because He knows that He has more plans ahead for me. Brothers and sisters, stop trying to get out of God's plan and do your plan, because you limit yourself to what God has in store for you. If you want the best in life, amen, God has for you, you got to remember that you have got to say within yourself, I got Jesus and He can give me the best that I need. So if I don't press on, that means I did not use my God-given ability to the fullness extent. In the sense, you could say, He is not happy with the situation. Remember one thing that delays, amen, your future. Progress is evil and comparison with others. As a pastor, I have never been satisfied with what I have achieved. As a church, we are happy that our congregation is growing, but it's possible that God wants us to grow a little bit further. This is the kind of thing that makes us glad, amen, but makes the Lord sad. Here is what I mean by that. If we stop where we are now, we have failed to accomplish all that God has planned and purposed for our lives. So I want to encourage you, young people, don't stop with what you know. Amen. Seek more education. Seek more wisdom. Seek more knowledge. Amen. Stretch yourself a little further. So you have to ask yourself what God expects from you. What goals and tasks he sets for you to accomplish. Always compare yourself not with other people, but with your calling and your destiny. Then you can be assured that your success will be unlimited. Oh, how, brothers and sisters, how do you know that God has the best for you? How do you know that God has the best for you? It is your calling, brothers and sisters. Amen. Everybody has inside of themselves something that is crying out for more. How do you know what you are called to do? Your passion, amen, will tell you what you have to do. And your passion is what you are concerned about, what you wish to do. It is the thing that is crying out from within you. In other words, your spirit is talking to you. It is telling you that there's something God has planted in you that you must be about. That's one way to know that God has called you to do a certain task. The second way to know your goals and your calling is to find out what your talents are. What comes naturally out of you, what you enjoy doing. And the third thing is, brothers and sisters, the way to know what your callings are to accomplish in life is to discover and maybe even to guess what raises discontent in you. What makes you feel frustrated? Some things can hold us back because we're stuck in frustration. Some things we need to turn loose. Some things we need to let go in order that God can bless us with what we need in life. For example, you are concerned about political practices of your country, and at the same time, you have passion to help make them more honest. You get angry when you see things going wrong because you love your country. That is a sign that you are called to do something in the scope of life. In other words, when things are not going right, it's going to bother you. Your conscience is going to work on you. And so if your conscience is working on you, it's time for you to get up off of your sit down, do nothing, and be about your Father's business. Or take, for example, some people do not pay slightly attention to the fact that there are alcoholics in your country. Others do little to help them and their families, and still others have an anger for such a phenomenon as alcoholism. But at the same time, they are compassionate for the people who use alcohol. If you notice a conflict in you, that on one hand, you have compassion, and on the other hand, you have anger, then it means you are called to address and confront that kind of situation. Let your friend know alcohol will destroy you. Let your friend know that it will not keep you in your right mind. Let your friend know it can cause you to have an accident. It is your duty when you see your brother doing wrong to try to help him and let him know there is a better way. God would help us accomplish our calling and purposes. And that is what this book is going to tell us about. God is going to help you operate as you are seeking his face, as you are trying to discover yourself. This book, the Bible, intends to help you discover yourself. I am going to tell you, amen, you could come to release your hidden abilities so that you can accomplish what God called you to be. Oh, look what Paul says there. 2 Corinthians 10, 13 and 14. He says, for we dare not make ourselves of numbers or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they measure themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves and not wise. But we will boast of things without our measure, but according to the measures of the rule which God has distributed to us, a measure to reach even unto you. For we stretch not ourselves beyond our measure, as though we reach not unto you. For we are come as far as to you also in preaching the gospel of Christ. What I'm trying to tell you, a man who compares himself with others, try to copy other people's lifestyle, is unwise. Because God haven't given you what he's given them. In doing, amen, so he begins to degrade his personality, which is not God's plan for his life. A man who ignores God's purpose lives a miserable life. He is actually not living, but existing. Are you just existing? Are you in somebody else's shadow? If you're going to hold on to somebody else's shadow, you will never be all that God wants you to be. He ends up defeated morally, physically, and financially. People like that fail sooner or later. But God laws, his word works. Those who break it will eventually fail in life. Why inflict that kind of punishment on yourself, amen, when you can avoid it? You need to reach out and say, Lord, help me. Lord, guide me. Lord, help me to not lean to my own understanding, but in all of my ways I will acknowledge you because you will direct my path. You need to strive to change your ways in life. If you do not protest against evil, you approve of evil. For instance, if you are tolerant of a social vice such as pornography, you won't even notice it's creeping into your life. If you do not want to change your wrong attitude, beliefs, and behavior ways, they will crush you in the long run. What you tolerate, you allow. What you allow, you will eventually let it rule you, and it will take control of your life. That's why James tells us in James 4 and 7, he says, submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee. Even success today can become an impediment tomorrow. If you decide to stop striving for more achievements in the circle of your life, it is the irony rule that you are unable to change. Often, God allows problems and crisis to happen in your life. Even Christians, he allowed to happen in their lives. We see an example of that in the life of Job in the Old Testament. An unpleasant situation or crisis is not always your enemy. Let me say that again. An unpleasant situation or crisis is not always your enemy. Of course, God does not cause it to happen. He only wants good for you. But sometimes he allows it, amen, in your life because he wants to teach you something. He wants to push you to exert more effort and thereby raise to a higher level. God allow it because he wants to change you. He wants to change your status quo. As you continue to seek him and obey his word, he can cause the situation, crisis, to work together for your good. That's what Paul tells us, amen, in Romans 8 and 28. Amen. All things work together for the good of them that love him and are called according to his appearance. Self-satisfaction is a serious obstacle on the road to success. God help those who are seeking to employ new territory in their lives. Amen. Is there anybody today who want to say, Lord, increase my territory? If you are trying to increase your territory, then God will start helping you immediately, because you are reaching for what God has for you and not what you have already accomplished. Sometimes problems crops up to serve a certain purpose. Some of the special grace that God has poured upon us is the right now, amen, our church is staying together by facing, amen, by face-to-face service, virtual and conference call communication during this pandemic. God Almighty is able to turn any problem into a blessing. Somebody ought to clap their hands right there. One thing I do, amen, during the time of trials is pray. Lord, please do not allow this problem to be settled until I learn the lesson that you want me to learn and change. I hope that would be your prayer today. Lord, please, amen, don't move this mountain until I learn the lesson that you have for me to learn. Amen, because God wants to promote you. So I get ready to close. He wants to promote you. Amen. Don't worry about what's happening on your job. Sometimes it might seem that other people are getting ahead of you. Somebody, amen, is getting your position. Just know what God has for you, it is for you. Turn all your troubles into stepping stones. Some prove to be powerful tools that pushes people hard to look for new ideas, opening up hidden potentials and talents within themselves. For instance, the cold weather caused people to invent warm jackets and coats. Large distance made people search for ways to conquer them. As a result, carriages were invented. As the technology revolution progressed, planes and trains and automobiles were invented. To live comfortable, people had built electric power plants. Remember, some problems eventually proves to have a positive effect on your life. If you don't go through something, you won't have no testimony. You got to understand that God is pushing you to get you to the level that he wants you to be on. So when trouble comes your way, when folks talk about you, when they scandalize your name, just clap your hands and give God praise, because you know he's getting ready to do something good in your life. So you have to view your problem as a tool that God uses to promote you and lead you to a greater, amen, situation in your life. Overcoming obstacles in the physical world strengthens our physical muscles. Take, for example, weightlifting. The resistance in weightlifting will strengthen your muscles. Lifting weights and running are meant for our body to live and to be strong. It works the same way with your soul. The same is true of the spiritual world. Getting past problems strengthens your spirit. Anybody here been through something and realize now that you are stronger, that the Lord has brought you through what you was going through? God may allow problems in your life if he sees us slow down in pursuing our relationship with him. In other words, he wants to get our attention. He's saying, I haven't heard from you lately. So he put problems sometimes. He allowed problems to happen in our lives so he can let us know I haven't heard from you lately. Where you been? The Lord sometimes using problems to bring us closer to him. When he sees that we have stopped tapping into his wisdom and to his truth. Through this device of God, many people have repented and came to Christ. So look at yourself and see where you are right now. And believe by faith that you've got the victory. Amen. Be sure of the victory and success. You might say at this moment, I can see no precondition for my becoming successful in the future. But that is only a first glance. Perhaps you lack something important, such capital to start a business. But this circumstance is exactly the precondition God has allowed to happen in your life. So you can learn to lean and depend on him. The obstacles that is trying to stop you, God is getting ready to raise you from it right now. He's getting ready to prosper you right now. He's getting ready to allow you to get that job that you want right now. He's allowing you to get the education that you want right now. If you proclaim by faith that I can do all things through Christ Jesus that strengthened me, God will allow you to become all that he wants you to be. I want you to understand that I have not seen no ear have heard, no mind have conceived what God has in store for them that love him. I want you to understand God has the best plan for your life. He has the best for you in your life if you would allow him to work in you. So many times you can get dissatisfied. So many times you can get discouraged. But you got to understand that if you trust God, that he's going to bring you out of this situation. Some of us are moping and groaning right now because of the way our country is going. The way the president is handling things. The way our governor is handling things. Let me tell you something, brothers and sisters. Just because this is happening don't mean that God is not still in control. Amen. When God gets ready, amen, he's going to turn things around. He's going to change things. Don't matter who's in office, don't you worry about that. No matter about this voting suppression, you just put it in God's hand. Because when God gets ready, he's going to put the right person in place. He's going to pass the right bills. He's going to be a blessing to all of us. So don't let obstacles stop you. Because you get stuck on what's going on in the world. You'll find yourself in bondage. You won't be able to sleep at night. You're wondering what's going to happen to this country. Where is this virus going? Don't worry about it. God is still in control. And he's getting ready to shift us. Oh, if you would just hold on. He's getting ready to shift us. He's getting ready to get us out of this mess that we're in. All we got to do is be faithful. Hold fast to our faith. Because God is going to do a new thing in our lives. God has the best for you. But you've got to first seek ye the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things will be added unto you. What about your life today? Have you thought about it? I know that the message was quite long today, but I wanted you to understand that if you're not successful right now, does not mean that you won't be successful. It might be on delay so God can prepare you for what he has for you. You know, sometimes we ain't ready for God's blessing. He'll bless us with something, we'll mess it up because we ain't ready for it. But it's high time for us to recognize that God is getting us ready for his plan, for his directions, for his benefits. Don't let the devil steal your joy. Just keep holding on to your faith. Some of you are crippled by your physical condition. Don't worry about it. God got something in store for you. You might not be able to do what you was doing when you were 16 years old. Many of us are in that situation. Every kitchen, we can't run like we used to. Praise God. We can't do what we used to do. But thank God he blesses us with wisdom and knowledge to understand what our limitations are and to show us what he has in store for us. Because some of the crazy mistakes that we made when we was younger, some of us should have been dead right now. I know I've been in some of those situations. But by the grace of God, we're still here. Amen. Bless you. Bless you. As we stand to our feet, maybe there's somebody here today don't know that God has the best for you. The only way you can find out is you got to develop a relationship with him. Will you come? Will you give him your life? Will you submit yourself to him? Will you allow him to be all that he wants you to be? If you're here today, we offer Christ to you. Come give us your hand. Give God your heart. And if you're listening in by way of radio, television, or whatever, in your cars, and if you're not saved, we offer Christ to you today that he might save you. If you're not saved, pray this prayer with me. Dear Lord, I come to thee, a sinner that needs to be saved. Forgive me for my sins. I confess all of them and ask that you would please, Lord, forgive me. Take me and own me as your child. Thank you, Jesus, for saving my soul. Now, Lord, stir up the gift that is in me that I might do your holy will. If you prayed that prayer, you're saved today. I say to you, get into a Bible-believing church where you can grow and mature in the Word of God. As we get ready for our altar call today, say to you, you can take all of your cares and give them to Jesus. He simply says, casting all your cares upon me because I careth for you. If you believe that today, now is the time to release your problems, release your situations, turn your troubles, turn your sickness or whatever is going on in your life over to Jesus and watch him work in your life. If you're here this morning, stretch forth your hands now. Maybe there's someone you want to be an intercessor for you, that you want to put your children on the altar, your parents on the altar, your grandparents, your cousins, your nieces, your nephew. It's a good time to say, Lord, here they are. Take them, Lord, and give them what they stand in need of. Father God, we come now in the name of Jesus. We pray, dear God, that you will hear our cry. We come with thanksgiving in our hearts, realizing that you've been mighty good to us. And so, Father, you told us to bring all of our cares to you. And so here we are this morning. We're laying them at your feet. We're praying for the sick, for the shut in. Oh God, those who are recovering. We pray for your healing today, for your deliverance. Comfort those who are bereaving, Lord. Give them strength. We pray for the wide family that you touch them, Lord. Help them to realize that mother was here for 93 years. Oh, what a blessing. We're grateful, Lord, that you allow her to be here. Now we pray, Father, as they make plans for her homegoing, that you give them directions, you give them strength, you give them comfort in the name of Jesus. Father God, we pray for those who are recovering from strokes, those, dear Lord, who are recovering from other things, Lord, those who are recovering from breast cancer, whatever it might be, we pray that I touch and deliver right now. Oh, Lord, whatever problem, whatever situation that we lay at your feet right now, we pray in the name of Jesus that you will make it good, that you will turn it around for our good. Bless these your people that are here today. We pray, Lord, that each and every only one of them will find joy, will find peace in you. Those who are listening in, Lord, we pray, Father, they be comforted, they be delivered, they be set free, they will be saved. Holy Spirit, bless now all over the land and country. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. Praise God, praise God. God bless you. Amen. We want to thank our young people. Amen. For blessing us this morning. Thank our musicians. Thank you so much, director. Thank all of our ministers, our officers, our mothers, our ushers. Amen. Thank our sound technician. Amen. All of you that are here today and those that are listening, we appreciate you being a part of our service today. May God bless you and may God keep you. And may you have a wonderful, wonderful week. Amen. Everybody say, everybody say, yeah. Everybody say, everybody say, everybody say, yeah. Amen, yeah, amen, yeah. Now may the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the sweet communion of his Holy Spirit, rest, rule, and abide us now, henceforth, and forevermore. Let every heart say, amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful, wonderful day. Amen.